This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Tanner.
Hey, bud.
Tess of the D'Urbervilles. That's what we're talking about today, right?
Tess of the D'Urbervilles?
Yeah.
What?
The Thomas Hardy novel?
Tess.
Tess.
The character in this book?
Yeah.
Tess Swinehart?
Yeah, Swinehart. Come on, Swinehart. Man.
Do you know what Swinehart means in German?
Pig heart?
Pig herd. Pig herder.
No, that would be... Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay, fine. Yes, good.
So anyway...
How are you?
I've been Tanner Greenring. Please... rate and subscribe.
Share any episode with a friend, including this one.
Claudia's wearing a bra now. I think boys have just been invented.
You know what? With the way she talks, you kind of would.
Mm.
All right. Good good episode.
We should talk about the book a little, I guess, too, huh?
Yeah. Let's talk. We could also introduce the show.
I'm impartial to that. I'm happy to do it.
Okay. Why don't you go for it?
Hi. And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
My name is Tanner Daniel Greenring.
And I'm Jack Shepherd.
This week we read a book.
Uh-huh.
Jack, it had a title, I'm pretty sure.
Could I ask you a...
I'm almost certain it had a title. Babysitter's Club number 111, Stacy's Secret Friend.
Could I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's the podcast about?
Podcast is about two dudes in their 30s.
That's what it is. That's not what it's about.
Who read the Babysitter's Club books each week.
Mm-hmm.
It's about friendship. It's about humor.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the novels of Princeton's own Annabelle Matthews Martin,
mm-hmm.
Stormborn,
yep.
Soul Skinner, Bane to Bats,
mm-hmm.
The Hand That Shakes.
Yep.
First of her name, last of her kind, last hope for humankind.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Jack, we read a book called...
Wait, is that the mother of clocks you're talking about?
She's has been known as the mother of clocks.
Okay.
The Primarch.
Yep. Sanctified, right?
Sanctified, I think I already said.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we read a book, Jack.
Yeah.
Called Babysitter's Club number 111, Stacy's Secret Friend.
Ooh.
And it was fine.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good.
I liked it.
Can I confess something to you?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say this. For a long time now, I have been...
It's okay. Just say it.
Just for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, okay, can I wrap up to it?
We've been friends a long time. You can say whatever you need to say to me.
You know, sometimes like you'll get into something... And it'll just be kind of casual.
Yeah.
And then as you get further and further and deeper into it, it'll start to become an obsession.
Yeah.
That's how I am with the novels. Tanner, I'm a waniac.
You're a waniac.
I'm a waniac.
Oh, thank God, Jack. I thought you were about to tell me that you were a fan of Stacy books now.
I liked this one and I like Stacy, but...
And I was about to hang up on you. And cancel tonight's record.
Okay, no, I'm a waniac.
Waniac. Oh, thank God. I am a Suzanne man, Jack.
Oh, you know what? It sounds like we're both insane in
spirits.
I was going to say insane in the membrane.
Oh, yeah. That too. Chief
Suzanne
waniacs.
Insane in the brain.
Co-chief waniacs.
Yeah.
After assuming Suzanne Wayne's mother and father and lover and children.
Yeah. Anyone can get into the hierarchy on the low levels.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to do a lot of like psychological testing.
Everyone is a low level waniac.
Yes. They may not know it.
You've got Waintons surging through your bloodstream right now.
Yeah.
And you need one of our Suzanne meter. You hold on to these two rods on the Suzanne meter.
Yeah. Trust me, it's a lot more fun than it sounds.
And we can measure the level of Waintons. Waintaclorians.
Yeah. Everyone's a little Suzanne in the Blaine.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we all have the germs to be waniacs. I am a full blown waniac. I'm proud of it. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm a Suzanne man.
I'm insane in Suzanne in the Inzane. How do we say it? Inzane in the
Membuane? I say Suzane in the Buane.
I'm Suzane in the Membuane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? This book was written by Nola Thacker.
No, it wasn't.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about the book. It was an interesting novel.
It was an interesting novel. There's a new girl in town called Tess Swinehart.
Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Now, where is this? This is a... what'd you say his name was? Austin Harper?
I think that's a Babysitter's Club secondary character. Austin something, right? Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
The other Tess I can think of is guarding Tess.
Tess.
I'm just trying to think where she got it from, because Tess Swinehart is a... sorry, it's Swinehart.
Swinehart, yeah.
Tess Swinehart is one of the most interesting and compelling characters who has ever been introduced in this series.
Yeah.
With the exception possibly of the short-lived, literally, Amelia Freeman, who is mentioned in this. And
very
who,
briefly, yeah.
Whom Tess is very clearly supposed to be a replacement for, because she becomes best friends with Barbara Hirsch, who had previously been best friends with Amelia Freeman before she was taken from us.
You know who's kind of an interesting character as well? Kind of a bad boy, not as wholesome as Tess Swinehart, is Clarence King.
He who insists on being called King.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, he does some pretty unpleasant things this week.
Yeah, he's a bad dude. He's a really bad dude. But insisting on being called King is very cool.
Yeah, and you know what?
What?
He's not the only bro in the BSC canon who insists on being called King.
Oh, right. Wouldn't
There are two other bros in the BSC canon who insist on being called King.
Lane's boyfriend?
Lane Cummings' boyfriend in New York, who's like 3 years older and has like, I can't remember his thing. Maybe he's got a nose ring or something. Something that's just like out of our league.
Yeah.
He's called King. His name is King. And then you got Irv Hirsch, the prank king of the seventh grade.
Yeah.
And now you got Clarence King, whose name is Clarence, but who insists on being called King.
Maybe each ghostwriter has their king.
Oh, that actually tracks.
Maybe they're souls that resonate across each ghostwriter.
Yeah, I can try and see if I can figure this out. Can you sing the song where I Google stuff?
All around me.
Actually, don't we have someone else who does it?
Faces. Yes.
Jack Google.
Here's the thing, though, is all these kings will eventually meet up and go on an expedition across the wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually they'll find a door, and they'll go through the door, and they'll find another king, Stephen King, and they'll bring him into the wasteland.
Right.
As well.
Well, these novels have a lot of resonance with The Dark Tower by Stephen King.
Baby Nation, if you haven't read The Dark Tower, we talk about it a lot. It's sort of required reading by this point. Literally, at some point in the books, the characters invade our world, our human world, and bring the author of their own books, Stephen King, the Stephen King, into the storyline.
Okay, so Stacy's Ex-Best Friend, book number 51, was written by Anne M. Martin.
And
by herself. Is that even possible?
No. And stop writing these books at book 35.
Well, there's no fucking acknowledgement.
Babysitter's Club number 51. Stacy's Ex-Best Friend, penned by Anne M. Martin exclusively.
And so Irv Hirsch shows up in Stacy's Big Crush, which is number 65, and that's Pete Larangis. So that makes sense. The prank king. Oh, wait.
Who was the prank king then? Alan Gray was the reigning king of pranks.
Yeah, so...
this is boring. This is a boring thing we're talking
about. Okay,
let's stop. Let's talk about the book that we're reading.
Okay, all right. Let's cut all of that.
Let's cut all of that.
Except for the beginning of it, which is
good. What a good character.
Yeah.
Tess Swinehart is.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yes,
she's tall.
She's my favorite Babysitter's Club character.
Let me describe her. Let me describe someone to you, and you tell me if they're cool.
Okay.
Tall.
Yeah.
Sort of broad.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Wears clothes that you don't think are fashionable, but, you know, you're not the expert.
Right.
Thick framed glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Short hair.
Yeah, you're describing Tess Swinehart, whom I've already told you I think is cool.
But you agree that all of those characteristics make for a cool person. Has been to Paris.
Very cool. Has been to Paris would be kind of important in there.
Yeah. Has been to the Centre Pompidou.
And can say it just real good.
Yeah. Yep,
that's important. Trying to think what else. Talented?
Uh-huh.
Artistically good artist. Talented.
Yep.
Yeah. Marches to the beat of their own drummer.
Yeah. All those things add up to being a cool person.
Yes, that's what a cool person is.
A cool person who Jack likes.
Whom Jack likes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not great with English.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Clumsy. Accident-prone. Doesn't get references.
Pig-like.
Mm-hmm. Look, this is a great character.
Yeah. Tess is tall and gawky and wears thick glasses.
Tanner.
Yeah.
If you want me, Tanner, look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now. If you want me to tell you you're cool, we don't have to do like a game like that. Okay. Just ask me. Just ask me.
Jack, you think I'm cool?
Okay, so Tess Swinhart is, I think she's one of the most dynamic new characters that has ever been introduced in the Babysitter's Club. She is cool, and like, we can spoil it. The way that she's cool is that, like, Suzanne does this amazing thing where she leads you to believe that she's not cool.
Yeah, she's like a nerdlinger who doesn't understand that everyone's making fun of her and calling her a pig.
And her, like, fashions are like, nobody wears pink. She wears a lot of pink. Nobody wears pink. And, like, she wears these, like, kind of polyester 70s style outfits.
Yeah. Thick glasses.
Everybody's like, I was like, oh, fuck, who's this nerd?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It turns out she's not a nerd.
And then Stacy's like, not cool. I want to make you over.
Yeah.
Doesn't go over well.
Everyone carries her. Not lifts her, but, like, does the thing that people do to Carrie in the movie Carrie.
Yeah.
Everyone's against her, but it turns out she is cool.
Yes, but it turns out she is cool, and the way that she's cool, and this is what Suzanne brings to the table, is that she's cool because she went to school in France where coolness is, what, three to four months? I don't know the science of it, but it's like 3 to 4 months ahead of everybody.
At least. Yeah.
And
France is at least three, four months ahead, and then there's America, and then there's Germany, who's like 3, 4 years behind.
Right.
Yeah. So right now in Germany, they're wearing a lot of Ed Hardy.
Yeah.
They're doing bling and like bleached hair.
They're like, in about 2 years, they're going to discover the fidget spinner.
Yeah, that's going to be fun for them.
Yeah. Tanner, Tess is an amazing character. She's cool, and she's cool before anyone else. She's like a precog of cool. She understands cool before anyone else can, and it comes across as lame.
Yeah. That's what happens to people like us, like me and Tess.
Yeah.
We're kind of like there at the front edge and people don't quite get it. And they're like, he's wearing a lot of J. Crew factory stuff. Does he just buy clothes from J. Crew factory?
Yeah. And little.
But then in like 5 years, suddenly everyone's buying J. Crew factory.
Yeah.
And I've moved on. You know, I'm on like.
You're on some other shit. You're on
Ralph Lauren Polo Factory.
The big and tall men's store.
Yeah. I'm buying stuff from like the Sears boys section. Yeah. Like the Husky Boys section.
Yeah.
We're like, where is he getting that stuff? I didn't even know Bugle Boy was still around.
Oh, man. Bugle Boy was my fucking jam. That was a good pull. You go into the Sears Boys section, they're like, we're not used to boys as big as you. You're like, you will be. Just wait 5 years. Bugle Boy. Tanner, let's describe the novel.
Oh, boy. I kind of thought we had already done it a little bit.
We'll do it fast.
You're so rigid. You stick to the rules, man. We already talked about the she's from Paris. Her name is Tess.
Well, we can switch it up. You want to do? You want to describe it in a couple sentences and make it sound tight and professional, and I will describe it in 60 seconds?
Let's see if I can do this without having a paragraph written down that I can read from.
Okay.
Like you do every week.
All right, so I can do this. You do the hard thing this week, Tanner. I'll do the easy thing, just describing a book I've already read in 60 seconds.
I can do this.
All right, scintillate me with your prose, with your beautiful words. You will see whether it's as easy as you think it is.
You ready? Do the music cue?
Yeah, the music's going, man.
Anne M. Martin's legendary debut. about a teenage outcast and the revenge she enacts on her classmates. Tess Swinhart may be picked on by her classmates, but she has a gift. She can move things with her mind. Doors lock, candles fall. This is her power and her problem. Then, an act of kindness from Stacy McGill offers Tess a chance to be normal until an unexpected cruelty turns her gift into a weapon of horror and destruction that no one will ever forget. Stacy's secret friend.
Are you done?
Whew. I can't believe I just pulled that out of myself like that, Jack.
I wasn't really paying attention.
Oh, you should have been. It was so good. I just tapped into something inside of me.
Something about... It did sound good. It sounded very professional.
It just came out of me.
Wow. Okay, well, I...
It was really good.
Can I make two comments? I'd like to make two comments. One, I'd like to formally apologize, because I'm going to admit now that I was kind of setting you up to, like, flounder around.
Yeah.
And just, like, not be reaching for words and not finishing sentences properly and just saying something dumb. And my hope was that you would kind of realize how difficult it is for me to do the thing that I do.
Uh-huh.
And that's not what happened. It sounded polished.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
So that's my first comment.
Yeah.
Did you say something about she can move things with her mind?
Yeah.
Because that actually didn't happen in this book.
I guess you just didn't read it all that closely.
Okay. Because it is true that there's an act of, what did you call it? An act of...
Let's see. What did I call it? I called it...
You're searching, act, your, there was an searching act of, your memory banks?
Yeah. There was an act of kindness.
Oh, okay.
To Stacy. And then until an unexpected cruelty...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Turned her gift into a weapon of horror.
Okay. Well, and the following. Let me read you this passage, Tanner.
Yeah.
It's from the end.
Yeah.
Claudia gave me a meaningful look. I think she understood what I meant and how I was feeling about my experience with Tess. She understood without my saying it because she knows me so well, which, after all, is what being friends is all about.
Yeah.
Is reading each other's minds.
Yeah.
Telepathy.
Telepathy.
That's what being friends is all about.
But and I think what you were doors and candles falling.
What you were
and...
describing was telekinesis. But
it's like it's two sides of the same coin, Jack.
Right.
Wow, can't believe I had that in me, man.
Tanner.
Yeah.
May I make a third comment?
It's just like I'm buzzing off of that.
Okay, may I make a third comment?
Yeah.
I made two comments. The first was, as you know, an apology. The second was a query.
Yeah. The third is another apology. It's, Jack, you're forgiven.
The third is that was the Amazon.com description of Carrie, a novel by Stephen King, word for word.
Carrie is about a girl named Tess Swinhart, Jack?
Not word for word, but with the words Carrie White replaced with the words Tess Swinhart.
Well, that's a pretty big coincidence.
And I'm gonna label that a criticism. My first comment was a apology. My second is a query, and the third I'm gonna call it what it is a criticism, because it kind of feels like
an accusation of plagiarism.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you just took the Amazon.com description of the novel Carrie by Stephen
King. I'm just gonna say that seems like a pretty big coincidence.
Okay.
Because thematically, the books are pretty similar.
They're
so I guess that's
similar.
Where you're getting confused.
Well, I was getting it confused because of the verbatim use of all of the words that were in this Amazon description in your description. That's where the confusion was coming from.
I would love to see you do my job.
Okay.
Where you describe the book in its entirety in 60 seconds. Better than I did yours, Mr. Throwing Around Accusations of...
I did it with what we call an apology sandwich.
That's not a
thing. Open-faced. Okay. All right. So what are we going to do? What do we do with me? I write...
Jack, have a big bad clock here
and you
in
get,
my hand.
So I'm going to be able to take some time to go and just like write down everything that happened in the book and then read it out.
Nope, that's not the way we do it on my end. You know what we do?
What?
Jack Shepard, I have a big bad clock in my hand. You have 60 seconds to describe this book in its entirety. I am starting right now.
Oh, God. Okay. Tess Swinhart is new. to Stony Brook Middle School. She shows up. She doesn't know anybody. She seems a little weird. She runs into Stacy McGill because they're doing a project together after she destroyed a papier-mâché jaguar that Stacy was making for
too detailed, the man. You got to pick it up.
And they're doing a project together, and Stacy starts to like her, but she thinks that she's weird.
Don't get hung up on names.
The boys at school start calling her Piggy because she wears pink and she has an upturned nose. And Stacy realizes that's the case, but Stacy tries to make her over with a makeover instead of just telling her what's going on, and that's a problem. And also, there's a B plot where Jackie Radowski is with Nikki Pike. Trying to
and that's time, Jack Shepherd. Here's all the stuff you didn't hit.
You are harassing me a lot more than I harass you.
Here's another thing you missed. Tess fell off a bleacher and broke her ankle and wrist.
Oh god, yeah, she did.
Here's another thing you missed. Tess is from Paris and she's actually cool.
She's from Paris and she's actually cool. Yeah.
Here's another thing you missed. Clarence King, I don't know.
Well, I didn't talk about the B plot. The B plot
you
is
didn't talk
that,
about the B plot at all.
The B plot is that Jackie Radowski, God, it's crazy, man. When you're in there, you're under the bright lights. The clock is ticking.
Yeah.
I couldn't even fucking remember the B plot.
Yeah. You miss it a lot of times.
That's wild.
Yeah. This was a weak B plot, in your defense.
Jackie Radowski and Nikki Pike have some like secret thing, and it's not clear what's going on, but it turns out that Nikki Pike has signed up to be Jackie Radowski's the bodyguard.
Yes. Yes, like the hit film.
You know what's crazy that I just figured out?
Tell me.
The A plot, so just to put a pin in that, Nikki Pike has signed up to be the bodyguard for Jackie Radowski, who some strong boys thought that he stole their leather jacket.
Right, but he didn't. But actually, he has a leather jacket just like it. And it's all explained in the end. And I know, Baby Nation, you're like, you guys keep talking about Jackie. Right. Where's our track of Jackie? Turns out there's no actual blipping in this book.
We'll get into it. But let me tell you something, Tanner. The B plot of this novel is that Nikki Pike has signed up to be the bodyguard for Jackie Radowski. Mm-hmm. That's an accurate description. The A plot of this novel is that Stacy, in a somewhat misguided but genuinely attempting to be helpful way, is guarding Tess
from the assassin's bullets that are rude comments about her pig-like nature.
So this novel, Tanner, is the bodyguard and guarding Tess.
What's guarding Tess?
That's a classic.
A thing? Is that a thing?
Bodyguard movie. Starring
Kevin Costner? No, it's just called The Bodyguard. Do you mean the Whitney Houston, Kevin Costner vehicle? The Bodyguard?
How do you not know the guarding Tess? It's Nicolas Cage. 88% of Google users liked it. 58% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Less good.
Nicolas Cage is an agent with a Secret Service uniform decision. He's assigned to protect former First Lady Tess.
Tess Swinhart?
It doesn't say. I'm not sure if they fall in love.
Do you know the movie The Bodyguard?
Yeah, it's the same.
That's a thing.
Yeah, so's Guarding Tess, man. It's Nick Cage.
No one's ever heard of Guarding Tess. When did it come out?
Apparently you haven't. 94. Right in your wheelhouse.
So this wait, when did The Bodyguard come out? You're on Google right now.
Bodyguard came out in 92. Wait, is this,
That's what I was just thinking. This might be...
RIP Freely. So Suzanne Wayne just watched a bunch of bodyguarding movies.
Because this book came out in 97.
Yeah.
So this is well after both the Bodyguard and this fictional Suzanne movie that you invented called Guarding Tess.
Suzanne Wayne was like, Anne called her up the day before, like, the galleys were due and was like... Hey, have you got the book about the bodyguard subplot?
Yeah. And if it was like
Suzanne was like, oh shit, I thought this was a NOLA month.
What if it was just like 6 years overdue? Like they were trying to like synergize off of the popularity of the bodyguard and not making it happen. Speaking of the bodyguard subplot, the B plot, I have this week, Jack, a baller of the week.
Let's hear it.
Mal and Jesse's jaws fell open when Nicky strutted down the stairs. His hair was slicked back and he was wearing sunglasses and sporting enormous biceps under a football jersey. His expression was completely serious. So serious, Mal told me later, that it was funny. "What happened to you?" Mallory sputtered, trying not to laugh. He turned to her but didn't answer. Instead, he smoothed back his hair, which shattered Mallory's self-control. She collapsed into the couch with laughter. "Are you trying to look tough?" she asked when she'd caught her breath. "I don't look tough. I am tough," he growled. "Oh, come on, Nicky," said Jesse. "What's going on? Are you in a play or something?" "I never play," he replied. "I always mean business."
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Nicky is good this week, and he's a good bodyguard, and he does a lot of bodyguard heroics to save Jackie from these mean boys.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I always mean business. I'm going to put that in my email signature.
That's cool.
Don't you think?
Can you quote Nicky Pike?
Yes, Nicky Pike.
It's like, quote, "I never play, I only mean business," end quote.
Nicky Pike. Babysitter's Club.
No, don't even say the Babysitter's
Club. Just say Nicky Pike.
Yeah. People will think it's some kind of like Lee Child thing.
What about on a business card? Because then it has a double meaning.
That's cool.
"I never play, I always mean business." Like you're like, "Hey, it's great to meet you at this networking event."
Yeah. It's crowd noise. Sorry, do these hors d'oeuvres have shellfish in them? I'm asking because I'm allergic. Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there.
You're the waiter.
I was talking to the wait staff here. I didn't see you approach me. I apologize.
Well, hello. Are you also a businessman?
Oh yeah. My name is
What is it?
It's
just tell me.
It's Hercules. My name is Hercules Throbmuscle.
Oh, Hercules.
I'm actually pretty well known in these circles. I'm surprised. I'm sorry.
Really?
I didn't catch your name.
Rich.
Rich. Mm. That's your first name or last name?
Actually, a little bit of both.
Uh-huh.
Rich Richson.
Rich Richson.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
CenterTech.
You're at CenterTech. Yeah. You guys are doing good work over there. I heard about the tragedy over there.
Oh,
the
two guys who
disappeared.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever find them? What were their
names?
Last
you saw them, Farmer's Market. Dave and Mark, right?
Yeah, Dave. Dave, Mark, yeah. Dave Markson?
Dave Davison and Mark Markson. Went to the farmer's market together?
They
told me because they're my roommates.
Yeah. Oh, they're your roommates?
Yeah. Good friends. We had gone to Hawaii, on a trip to Hawaii and everything.
Yeah.
They went to the farmer's market. They said they were going to make a cauliflower cheese. Vegan.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so sorry for your loss. I had no idea they were roommates.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man.
Yeah.
If you're ever looking for something new.
Yeah, I'm looking for, the whole company's blown up now. We can't work with our CAO and our and the guy who has a phone in the room, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm looking for work.
Over at Throb Muscle Industries, you know, we take our employee safety very seriously. We're a very serious company, you know. If you're ever looking for something, a new line of work, you're ever looking for a new place that you're gonna feel a little more safe, a little more at home.
Yeah.
I would love to have one of my people give you a call. Do you have a business card or?
Yeah, I got a business card. Can I ask you a question before I give it to you?
Yeah.
Do you guys have fun? Is it one of these workplaces that like has like a slide and like razor scooters and there's not a lot of not a lot of business, a lot of people having
you know
a
what
good time?
I gotta tell you, Rich, We believe in a good work-life balance at Throb Muscle Industries. But what that means is that when you're at work, we expect you to work.
Okay.
You know, you're there. We ask you to come in for 8 hours, 40 hours a week, 8 hours a day. And in that time, we expect you to work. We're not going to keep you late. We're not going to ask you to come in early. When you're on business time, it's all business. If you're looking for fun, you do that in your free time.
Say no more, Hercules. Let me now give you my business card.
It says here, "I never play. I always mean business."
That's right.
And then you've quoted Nicholas Pike here. Now, who is that? Yeah. Is he like a Nais Nin or
bodyguard?
Oh, he's a body. He's your bodyguard.
A bodyguard.
He's a bodyguard.
He's a the bodyguard.
Do you keep a bodyguard after what happened to your roommates?
I probably should.
You probably should.
If we ever find out what happened to them.
Sorry, one second.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know. And scene.
Beautiful. I feel like we worked something out there.
Yeah, I guess.
Nicky Pike. Hey, Tanner, what about if we take a quick break?
Yeah, probably a good idea.
All right.
And bye.
Bye.
Hi all, it's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey. But Tanner has actually, and this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the Roaring Twenties about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick him up.
Jack.
That's my name.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
A little bit ago, before all of the Deep Voice Boys stuff and Baller of the Weeks and all that of other nonsense, you hinted that you had some Radowski lore to dig into.
Well,
would you care to dig into it now is the question I'm getting to.
thanks for putting it baldly.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I want to talk to you about Jackie Radowski. This is a book that the entire B plot is centered on Jackie Radowski, who
It was a weak B plot, and it was not incredibly well tied to the A plot, just to get that out of the way.
Okay. What do you want me to do? You want me to email Suzanne?
No, I just want Baby Nation. I think that Baby Nation can probably sense some discomfort.
Okay.
I think they can sense that we're a little uncomfortable.
Let's just tease this out together.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? What you're asking me to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to get on my work email.
Yeah.
I'm going to email Suzanne Wayne. I'm going to find her or her publicist.
Or her husband or wife or mom or kids.
Right.
I'm not sure of her family situation.
Right. I'm going to email her.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot her an email. I'm going to be like, we'll just write it out together. What? Hey, Suzanne, read your book.
Dear Mrs.
Wayne.
Wayne.
We know she's married.
And then parentheses, we're not sure of your family situation. I'm not sure.
As you may know, apart from your family, right. I and my colleague are amongst the chief Wayniacs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is you, because I like the book. However, yeah.
My colleague, Tanner Greenring,
right,
who I will remind you is a chief among the Waniacs,
right,
recently read Babysitter's Club number 111, Stacy's Secret Friend, and commented on the fact that the B plot about Jackie Radowski and Nikki Pike was tenuously related to the A plot at best.
Right.
And at worst, it was kind of sloppily dashed
into the
rest
of the
novel.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
And then it's going to say, sincerely yours, Jack Shepherd.
Alexander Shepherd.
And then underneath that, there's going to be his signature. It's going to say my title, Babysitter's Club co-host. And then underneath that, it's going to say, I never play. I always mean business.
Business. End quote.
Yeah.
Attributed Nikki Pike. To Nikki Pike.
And how do you think she's going to take that?
Well, I hope she emails and apologizes.
Okay. All right. We'll keep people posted.
Did you find her email?
No.
Did you find her publicist?
I'll do it after the show.
Lover or kid's email?
Like, yeah, I'm going to email her lover. Tanner, Jackie Radowski is a major part of this novel, but he doesn't have an accident.
No, he doesn't have any accidents.
Longtime listeners will know that we have a hit segment on this podcast called Track and Jackie.
It's called Strack and Jackie.
It's called Track and Jackie.
And it is a segment in which we discuss Jackie's
antics through time.
His permeable nature in time and space.
Right.
But there's no need to do that this week, Jack, because it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
He was but a boy.
He was but a boy. He had no accidents. We know that when Jackie has an accident, traditionally what it means is that he's blipped out of existence and into existence in another parallel universe where he lives out an entire life.
That's informed by whatever accident is happening in real time.
This week,
Nothing. He's
a major player.
But he's but a boy. You could have swapped him out for any other boy in Stony Brook.
And yet, Tanner, and yet, let me read you a passage from this novel. You didn't have to do all that, I said to Tess. Sure I did. She began cutting a section of mesh. I wrecked the jaguar statue, didn't I? It's my fault. It was an accident, I said. Accident is my middle name lately. I don't know what's the matter with me. Suddenly, I'm so clumsy. Suddenly, I'm so clumsy.
I understand. Oh, I understand. You think there's some slippage.
I think there's some bleed.
Yeah.
And later on in the novel, Tess, oh my goodness, Baby Nation. We didn't have a professional doing the 60-second description this week, so you didn't actually get this, but oh boy.
Yeah.
The climax of this novel.
Nice.
Tess.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain yourself?
What do you
mean? Do you want to explain yourself? Why don't you just explain yourself? Say what you said.
I said, yeah.
And then?
I don't. You said something, something, something. The climax of this novel. I said, nice. You said, Tess. I said, yeah.
No. Okay. I heard it.
Yeah.
You said, what did you say?
Yeah. You said, Tess.
Yeah.
As though you were about to start a sentence. And I said,
right.
Yeah, to be like, I'm listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good?
Yep.
We're good.
Yeah. Go ahead. Start over.
Okay, so Tess.
Yep.
In the climax of this novel.
Nice.
Okay, now we know what happened.
Well, climax means orgasm.
Okay. Tanner, in the climax of this novel, Tess, they fucking, for some reason, and you're going to have to take this up with Suzanne Wayne. I'll send you all her email when I get it. For some reason, in the universe that Suzanne Wayne and Anne have created, in Stony Brook Middle School, it's okay for the students to suddenly decide that in the middle of the year that they're going to change the school's mascot.
Oh, yeah. Just like, and like, no teachers present.
No teachers present. They're just like shooting the shit in the eighth grade lounge. And they're
it was the pep, the pep squad. Yeah.
But like the school, it's like a big school. They have a pep squad. They have a football team, for Christ's sake. They're a huge school.
They have jerseys.
Like,
I assume they have some mural somewhere that has a jaguar painted on it. They have like a sign that some dumb like alum who still loves his high school for some stupid reason, like
Jaguars for
life. $10,000 for that says like Jaguars. Yeah, Jaguar
they're sending out fundraising emails that are on letterhead that say like grr, Jaguars. Yeah.
And they want to change the mascot to pig.
Yeah.
Just so they can like
Prince of the Jungle
do a mean joke on Tess.
Well, so that you've preempted me.
Sorry.
So they decide for whatever reason they decide they're going to change the mascot. They have a competition to come up with the different mascot names, and all the people who call Tess a pig submit pig as a possibility. Then at the fucking worst possible time of all, halftime of the SMS football game,
right?
Pep rally. They all Stacy and the rest of the Pep Squad people. I don't know how the fuck she has time to do Pep Squad and be the fucking math whiz of all of Stony Brook, but that's so on Stacy. And get to BSC meetings on time. That's a lot. It's a lot
and
of action.
And manages her diabetes.
And she's managing her diabetes. And she's going to New York every other weekend.
She doesn't date anyone.
I bet that Mary Ann's record book is like, yeah, Stacy, dude, you're not fucking free.
Yeah.
You are not free.
No, she's not dating anyone currently. She's got all the time in the world.
She's got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
But she gets up in front of everybody. She's holding a little poster board for each mascot that comes up with a cool diagram drawn
Barbara's
by,
like,
drawn by Tess.
Let's hear cheers for the Eagles. And and Stacy raises up a poster board that has an eagle on it.
That Tess drew.
Who wants the Bears? Stacy lifts up the bear poster, you know? And then
Barbara is like, let's hear it for the pig. Who wants the pig mascot? Stacy raises her arms with her poster board. Guess what? It's got a big life-size blown-up photo of Tess.
Larger than life.
Larger than life.
You can see every detail.
And you know what happens? Tess trips, falls off the bleachers.
Yep, from the top.
Blip.
Oh, Jack. Are you sure?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
And then what? Bring me into your world.
I don't think we know.
I know what. She finds herself standing in front of an adoring crowd of her peers and classmates at prom. She's found acceptance finally, as she's crowned prom queen by the Pep Squad. But Tess, her joy, her camaraderie, her newfound inclusion is cut short when a bucket full of pig's blood comes plummeting from the ceiling, coating, drenching her. She doesn't know what to do. She's furious. All she can see is red. She looks out on the crowd as everyone laughs at her, including the teacher. Everyone is laughing at her, and she reaches out her arms and slams shut all the doors in the gymnasium. A fire hose whips off the wall and starts slamming into the faces of her fellow students and faculty members at SMS. The principal of the school becomes electrocuted, and her teacher, Mr. Kingbridge, is crushed to death by a backdrop. Soon the whole gymnasium is up in flames. And as her fellow students and teachers all submit to the fire around her and burn to death, she calmly walks out the front doors and, using her mind, locks the doors behind her. As she's walking home, she sees Alan Gray and Clarence King in a car. They're driving towards her. They intend to run her down, to kill her. But as they approach, she uses her mind to flip the car, and it explodes. They both burned to death in the overturned car. Blip.
Wow. Tanner, can I offer you an apology? Is it too late?
I don't think it's too late.
Well, I'd like to apologize because
last time you apologized to me, though, you you called me on my bullshit a little bit. So are you going to do that again, or are you just going to apologize?
No, that was the kind of the first piece of bread on what we call an apology sandwich in the business. And I'm going to I don't know if you remember, but I said I was going to do an apology sandwich, and I only had one piece of bread. So I'm going to kind of put that other slice on.
So this is the This is the other end of the apology sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Knowing this now, knowing that this is what happened to Tess, having caught, if I'm putting the pieces together correctly, having caught Jackie Radowski's time-walking disease condition from him, now that he seems to have gotten it under control, like Professor X, he's controlling all that psionic energy, but
it needs to go somewhere.
It's got to go somewhere.
Right.
Knowing now what happened to her in the parallel universe and time where she lived out her life, your description was spot on.
I know, ma'am. And that just came out of me.
And I shouldn't have doubted it.
No. You shouldn't have doubted me. I'm very bright. I'm very gifted.
Yeah.
I can do this stuff in my sleep. I know you have to like labor over this, and you have to sit and write all this out, and you have to read it, and you have to like pretend you're not reading it. But like for me, it's just natural. It's natural talent, you know?
Well, that's clearly the case, and I hope that you'll accept my apology.
Apology not accepted.
Okay.
I want you to live in this.
All right. You're still going to have to account for the fact that it's verbatim what they wrote on the Amazon review of
Canada. I think that's just a weird coincidence.
Okay.
What else we have to discuss in this book, man? I feel like we've kind of thumped this melon now at this point.
Yeah, we kind of thumped this entire melon.
Oh, I've got something.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Jack, if you may have captured this week a... You got one.
Yeah, I got a bunch.
This was a burn heavy week. But
it's a book about bullying.
Yeah, they were mean burns.
And so none of the burns on Tess, who, again, let me reiterate, by a long shot, the coolest character ever to be introduced in these series.
Yeah, cool, like well dressed, hip Parisian.
Would you agree with that? Cooler than Pete Black. She's from Paris. She's from Paris. She has incredible fashion sense. That's like 3 months ahead of time.
Shoulder length hair now.
She's so cool that people think she's not cool because her coolness is from 4 months in the fucking future.
Yeah. Okay. She's the coolest. Yeah. She's the coolest character. So
there are a lot of burns where they're like, oh, comparing her to a pig. Like Alan Gray does this whole thing where he's
the reason they compare her to a pig is because she wears a lot of pink, which we will all soon discover is the hot trend next spring.
Yes. I think she has an upturned nose, though you wouldn't know it from Hodges' depiction of her this week.
Upturned nose? A slope nose?
Ski slope.
Ski slope nose?
Shannon Kilborn.
Nobody,
no one's calling her a pig.
No, unless they want a fractured C4 vertebrae.
What is that?
The joke being that Shannon Kilborn would break their neck.
Okay, I forgot what we were talking about. A precision fracture right on their C4 vertebrae by a CIA trained.
Yeah, you don't fuck with Shannon Kilborn.
You don't.
But apparently, people still think it's fine to fuck with this nice Parisian girl.
Yeah, who's ahead of the times.
Yeah, they're all mean comments and.
Right.
While they may be burns,
uh-huh.
they're disqualified.
We will not allow
them.
But we will allow a burn on one of the greats.
Yeah.
Because he can take it.
Okay.
You ready for this one?
Yep.
Here's my burn of the week this week. Mr. Fisk cleared his throat loudly, and I turned around in a hurry. He began his lesson on medieval poets with a poet named Chaucer, whom everyone had been wild about back then.
Is your burn going to be on Chaucer?
It is. That's it.
Oh, that's it? That's the whole burn?
Yeah. Whom everyone had been wild about?
Wild about.
This is like one of the greatest English poets.
It is hard to read.
Okay.
It is written in an archaic form of English that is difficult to parse.
Well, I was trying to figure out, because she brings up Chaucer a bunch. She brings up Chaucer. She does this great burn on Chaucer. They're studying the Canterbury Tales, and I was like, there actually is no resonance between this novel and the Canterbury Tales. I would normally like to bring something up like that. And it's just like, I didn't know what to do, because normally when Anne or one of the ghostwriters brings a literary reference to bear on a text, it has deep resonance. I don't understand why they bring in Chaucer, who is famous for the Canterbury Tales. He's also translated Boethius, but nobody really talks about that. And it's the Canterbury Tales has nothing to do with this.
Right. What's the Canterbury Tales about?
It's about
a bunch of people going on like a road trip.
Yeah. It's a bunch of it's the ultimate England. It's the first road trip movie.
Is there any resonance there at all?
We're gonna have to leave it there. The great
there's just nothing. So Chaucer wrote the Canterbury Tales,
yeah,
and translated Boethius, and
yeah,
that's it.
That's mostly it. I mean, he has a few other things like some scholarly works. I mean, he has a few like the Canterbury Tales is unfinished, so maybe there's something in there. He didn't finish the Canterbury Tales in the way they finished the translation of Boethius. But you know, like there's a lot in there. You would think that if she brings it up,
right? No, I guess
gotta be.
Well, it was a good burn on.
It was a good. Maybe it's just there for the burn. There for the burn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they just wanted to toss out a quick burn.
Okay. Well,
and I don't think we need to read into it any more than that.
There's just nothing there. Okay. Just brought up Chaucer for no reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's your burn?
Let's see if I had one. Huh?
If it's one of the burns on Tess, I'm gonna censure you. I'm gonna write you up.
It's not a burn on Tess. It's a burn on France.
That's a fine.
Yes. My mother is with the U.S. Foreign Service. She's a translator for diplomats. And my father works for a French-based perfume company. There are some photos on the desk of my friends and me in front of my old school. Paris, I thought, impressed. Growing up in Paris seemed to me even more sophisticated than growing up, as I had, in New York City. We get it, Stacy. It also explained why Tess might not have understood the jokes about Petunia Pig and Babe. She'd grown up away from American culture. Turning, I picked up a small stack of photos next to the letters. The top photo showed a smiling Tess with four of her girlfriends standing in front of a stone building. All of them were dressed in pink. Two of them were wearing black framed glasses like the ones Tess wore, and another girl had fixed her hair like Tess's. Every one of them wore an outfit I'd consider awful. I suddenly realized Tess's strange look was the look in the school she'd just come from. In fact, on her desk amongst the letters was a French magazine. On the cover was a gorgeous model in a shiny vinyl hot pink pantsuit, short blonde hair, in black framed glasses. So my burn is on French fashion.
Because they haven't seen Babe out there?
French fashion is too basic. Stacy McGill, one of the most fashionable people in Stony Brook,
yeah,
said that French fashion is, quote, awful.
Yeah.
So fuck you, France. You don't know anything about fashion.
Yeah, don't take it from us.
Take it from a 13-year-old girl in Connecticut.
French listeners out there, I want to be careful. I want to be careful here.
Yeah.
Because I think we're saying officially on the Babysitter's Club that French fashion is, and correct me if I'm wrong, just tell me if there's anything wrong with this, basic and awful.
Yeah.
We're endorsing that.
We endorse that stance. Yeah.
We endorse that. And I will
French
add
listeners,
that we never play. Mean business.
Yeah.
We always mean business, both of us.
Yeah.
We don't play, ever.
We won't play.
We won't play. You know
so
what
my
we
burn is
do?
On France.
Mean
my burn is on all of our French
do
listeners.
Business. But the burn is from this book on France, but we're carrying it forward. Because if Stacy says it, and she's a flawed person, but we trust her on fashion.
Uh-huh.
And
my
we
burn
are,
is on Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah. Yves Saint Laurent, Jacques Chirac, president
sure.
at the time
from
France.
WWE. Can mm-hmm. you smell what Jacques Chirac is cooking? He would say and do the thing with his eyebrow.
Okay. All right. Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, the airport.
The also president.
Yeah.
Just presided over basic, awful French fashion. Louis Vuitton. Oh, no.
Oh, nice try,
no,
buddy.
Thank you.
Sell your counterfeit purses elsewhere, bud.
Yeah. Drakkar Noir.
That means something. Black.
Yeah.
Black.
It means black Drakkar. Do you not speak French?
No.
It means black Drakkar. Bad. We don't want it. It's basic.
Tour de
Eiffel. It's awful. Tour
Am
de
I Fel? Right?
Basic.
Basic.
Awful.
I've been to the big castle they got out there with all the gold.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Dumb. All right.
Hear that, Louis the 14th?
Yeah. Hear that, Louis Vuitton?
Dumb.
Dumb. Well,
I'm sorry, France. I'm sorry, French listeners. I actually do really love and admire your country. I think it's a beautiful country.
I love and admire your fashion.
I do love and admire your fashion. I'm very into pink.
I'm wearing a Louis Vuitton placket right now.
You wish.
Yeah. I can't afford it.
No.
Don't know what it is.
Don't even know what it is.
Tanner, what about if we get the fuck out of here?
I'm good with that.
You're good with it?
I'm good.
You'd like it?
Yeah, I'll see you.
You're happy to... This is like the only time we have together every week.
Well, you're coming to town next week. Oh, Baby Nation.
Yeah.
Fun news. Next time you hear our voices, we will be approximate.
Viva voce.
Viva voce.
Yeah.
That means living face.
that's what it means. Yep. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Tanner, I understand.
So our energy is going to be different. It's going to be weird. It's going to be raw.
Yeah.
That'll be next episode, though. This one, we're still computer screen faces. Yes. What do you call it? Viva?
Not viva. I wouldn't say viva. Senza voce.
Senza voce.
Tanner, what I was going to say
it
is that...
synthetic life. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. What I was going to say is that even though
just
we...
say it, man.
What I was going to say is that I understand without your saying it because I know you so well, which, after all, is what being friends is all about.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What did you say?
Okay. No, I was just going to say that I kind of understand you without you having to say what, because that's what being, when you're really close with somebody, Tanner, that's what being friends is all about.
I just like, you're not capturing me, so I keep like, my attention keeps drifting.
I was saying that we should get the Baby Nation to rate and review.
Oh, yeah. Baby Nation, if you like the show.
Yeah.
And I assume if you're
oh, you're doing
on...
it now. You're doing the outro. I'm just going to sit back and interrupt you. You did the intro. You might as well do the outro. Okay.
I'd like to see you try to interrupt me.
Great.
I have rock solid resolve, and I will just see this through to the end.
Okay.
Baby Nation, if you like the show, and I assume you do because you've been with us for 114 episodes now, give us, if you haven't yet, give us a rating. Give us a review. Subscribe to the show. If you really love it, recommend it to a friend. Tell them to start wherever they please, but please do start at the beginning, episode number one, and listen to the full way through. What else can we have you do? Buy our merch, if it's up by now. Might not be, but if it is, buy the dang shit. It's so good. We got Baby B. John to design our stuff, at Fox the Devil on Twitter. There's two shirts. You can choose whether or not you're into bees or whether or not you're into bread. There's probably some pins. I don't even know. It's not even live yet. So
it has to be one or the other, though. Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Preferably both, actually.
Yeah, please, because we're starving out here. I can't even feed my child.
Might not even be live yet, though. So
yeah.
Fuck it. Drown your dolls.
Call your senators.
Demand your right to bear time. Let this daddy love you like the other daddy does.
Okay. Don't forget.
Don't forget. Keep.
Oh.
Is that what we say?
That's your motto, and I'm hoping it's your edit, but I'm hoping you bleep the shit out of it.
We don't say just.
We don't say that. And there's a reason. It's because it's gruesome.
That's kink shaming.
It's not for human ears to hear.
It's kink shaming.
Oh, you know
what? I'll see you around town, Baby Nation. Kiss ya, I love ya.
Okay, you're bad at this. Here's what I want to say. What do we say now about the melon? What do we say about the melon now?
Keep thumping that melon.
Keep thumping that melon. Here's another one that's introduced in this book that I like a lot. Barbara, Tess, and I. This is early in the first chapter. Barbara, Tess, and I. Tess,
you're introducing a new outro.
I just want to say something. Tess in this book bumps into the paper mache jaguar mascot. That's how we are introduced to Tess. She has an accident and she bumps into and destroys the paper mache jaguar. And so one of the first lines of the book is, Barbara, Tess, and I had planned to meet in the lunchroom that afternoon to rebuild our jaguar. I thought that was both a potent metaphor and an all-around cool thing to say. rebuild the Jaguar.
Okay, demand your right for free time to bear time.
Thump rebuild that watermelon.
Thump the melon.
Thump the
rebuild
melon.
Rebuild the Jaguar.
Yeah.
And let daddy love you as much as
but it's me.
Mommy does?
No, that's bad. Don't forget to let daddy love you as much as I much do. As we're talking
does.
About me, so you're going to have to... I want you to lead us out, and I want... And
let
I want,
daddy,
can I
daddy
talk
being
for
Jack,
a second?
Love you as much as mommy does, mommy no. being me.
No, that's weird now.
I don't understand.
I want you to lead us out, and I want you to say the sign-off. That's the only thing that matters, and I'm going to give that to you. But to get
boys,
us there...
Boy, I tell you what.
What?
You wouldn't believe they exist.
Oh, God. Okay. No, listen.
And I'm Tanner Greenring, and I'm wearing a bra now.
You have to tell us.
And I'll see you next week on the Babysitter's Club.
I'm going to coach you through it.
Club.
Let me coach you through it, okay?
I've been Tanner Greenring.
No. I'm going to coach you through it. We're going to get there. Tanner, tell us what we read this week.
Jack, this week we read book number 111, The Babysitter's Club Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy's The Babysitter's Cycle. Stacy's Secret Friend.
Okay, what are we reading next week?
Next week we're reading book 112, presumably.
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
It's got a name.
Oh, God.
It absolutely has a name, don't you think? Wouldn't you imagine it has a name? I got it. Number 112, Christy and the Sister War.
Yeah, sounds fucking great. Does it not?
Sounds
Does it
really good.
Not sound like you and I deserve some good, clean babysitting fun? And what's more fun than a sister war?
Sister war.
Sister war.
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. Jack.
Yeah. Who have you been this week?
Have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
Okay.
This week.
Okay.
Claudia, Jack.
Yeah. No.
Is wearing a bra now.
Okay, you're just going to let them have the corners in their bedroom?
And the way she talks?
Okay.
You would think that boys had just been invented. My name is Tanner Daniel Greenring.
My name is Jack Alexander Shepard.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
And I'm Jack Shepard.
This week, it's my edit, so that's going to come out exactly how I want it to come out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.